So he had an enemy in the room with him the whole time. And he knew who that enemy was. There was no guessing in Jesus' eyes. He knew Judas would betray him. He knew Judas had already betrayed him. And he was an enemy sitting there. He knew Judas was a liar. He knew Judas was a betrayer. He knew Judas would send him to his execution. But yet he allowed Judas to stay there, and he washed his feet. The lowliest of things that you can do as a Jewish person is to wash somebody's feet. And he washed the enemy's feet right there in front of the other disciples. So besides this obviously great act of kindness towards an enemy, what does the Lord tell us about our enemies? So in Matthew 5:44-46, he said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Or even the tax collectors do the same." So again, it's very easy for us to serve those who love us. It's easier to serve in the church because we're kind of in the body of Christ. We know each other. We love each other, hopefully. Some days we may not love each other as much, but, you know, holistically we love each other. So it makes it a little bit easier. But true service is when we serve our enemies, those people who lie about you. Those people who persecute you, people who have cheated you, deceived you. And I'm not ever going to say that's an easy thing to do, because it's not. But those are the kind of things that we need to think about, because it's not just what Jesus told us to do, which is to love our enemies and serve them. It's what he actually did right before he was taken to the cross. And that's an important thing that we need to remember, that he even washed Judas's feet. He washed the enemy's feet. And we ought to serve them as well. So I want to get to my final point, which I think is probably the most important lesson that we can get out of this event during the washing of the feet. And that is that Jesus completely washes us of our sins and we are clean. Service is great and all those kind of things, but understanding that we are clean because of Jesus is the message that he's giving to us right here. So I'm going to kind of go through this conversation he had with Peter, but it's important to remember that Peter was not one of the first people to get his feet washed, as you read through this story, because he comes up to Peter and he's watching this. Peter's watching this unfold. So in my mind, I can kind of imagine, as I've studied about Peter and his personality, and we all know his personality. I mean, he whacked the ear off a guy coming up here pretty soon. He's a pretty kind of aggressive guy. He is very strong for the Lord. We know that he slipped and fell, but he was very strong for the Lord. And I can see him watching this thinking, Jesus is not going to wash my feet. This is not going to happen. As he's watching Jesus make his way through the other disciples before he gets to him. And he's thinking to himself, you know, this is me just kind of imagining what might be going through his head. He's our rabbi. He's not a Gentile slave. What is he doing? He can't do this. And if I do let him wash my feet, what are people going to think? That I think I'm better than the Lord? That I'm better than the teacher? That I'm better than our master? This is just not going to happen. So it drives Peter that when Jesus comes up to him to say, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. Are you going to wash my feet? And he says to him, yeah. And he just continues on. And so Peter kind of makes an explanation now, because since it wasn't really answered, Jesus just continued what he was doing. And he says, you shall never wash my feet. And I can see him kind of pulling his feet back. Yeah, you're not, this isn't going to happen. Not here, not now, not ever. And then the Lord obviously tells him, very quietly, I'm sure, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Of course, we know Jesus wasn't talking about cleaning him physically. He was talking about his share in the salvation. But still, Peter didn't understand. So what's he say? Oh, my goodness, Lord, if I need to have a share in you, wash my hands, my head, clean me all. I need all cleaning then. So get to work. If that's what it takes, then that's what we'll do. Of course, then Jesus tells him, the one who is bathed does not need to be washed except for his feet, but is completely clean. And here's the most important thing he said, and you are clean. He's proclaiming to him that because he has accepted him as his Lord and Savior, he's clean. His feet need to be clean because he's coming for dinner. But he is clean. His soul is what is clean. And I think often we see ourselves as we come to the Lord, we see all our filth. We see our sins. We see the dirtiness that's within us. And we're like, yeah, Lord, clean me again. Yep, sorry, Lord, clean me again. Clean me again. And we keep bringing up the past and asking the Lord to clean us again and again and again and again of the things that we've done in the past. And the Lord says to you, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you are clean. That's the most important message. I think if we take nothing out of these verses, is when he declares, as we accept him as our Savior, you are clean. Now, I would strongly encourage you that if you have not accepted the Lord into your life, that now's the time to do that. This is not something you put off. You don't put off your salvation because you're still trying to decide what you need to do with your life. Or maybe if I do this, then I got to change and I'm going to miss out on other stuff, washing, and things that I want to do that might interfere because the Lord's going to ask me to do other things. That I want to remind you that the Lord wants to give you this free gift. It's for you. He's knocking at the door, and all you got to do is let him in. So if you haven't accepted the Lord and are not cleaned by the Lord, get with the pastor, get with one of the deacons, me, somebody else who has accepted the Lord, and we can help you with that and accepting the Lord as your Lord and Savior and be clean. But one of the most important things we can do is once we are clean is that we show our gratitude for our cleaning from the Lord by humbly serving those with love in our heart. That cleaning that we serve, those that we love, and those that don't love us. So the question is where are you serving the Lord today? Out of gratitude for that cleaning. You know, we talked with the little kids today. We sang a lot of songs about service. Are we serving in the church? Are you serving in the community here in Wiesbaden? I think that's an important thing to place to serve too. Are we serving in the nation or the country that God has placed us in? And for us, that's Germany right now. It doesn't matter where you came from. He's got you here for some purpose, for some reason. Or is there somewhere in the world that God is calling you to go? And we've got a number of people that go often to other places in the world to serve within this church. That's something that you have to look inside your heart and pray where the Lord wants you to serve, to show your gratitude for the cleansing power that he has given to you and that salvation, that assured salvation that you now have in your life. And I pray that we continually ask the Lord where we can serve him and serve others and be grateful for that cleansing that he gave to us in our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the opportunity to come here as a body, to worship you, to be encouraged, and to be uplifted, and to serve one another, not just within the church, but within our community, within our country, and within the world. Please show us where you would have us serve so that we can show our gratitude towards you, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen.